Welcome to Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser. For the next 2 hours, we'll be covering all the latest, the breaking. And honestly, I never even know where to start. We got new news breaking that the Secret Service abruptly halts security clearance renewal for former director Kimberly Cheadle. And look, I heard this news and I thought, oh, that's nice. I'm so grateful that they're finally cracking down on the people responsible for either conspiring to have the president assassinated or for just being so abundantly incompetent that they allowed it to happen. They're finally cracking down. It's over a year since the assassination attempt on President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. And finally, they're going to abruptly halt security clearance renewal for former director Kimberly Cheadle. And it just comes off kind of adolescent to me. I remember I did a philosophy paper in college for my intro to philosophy course, and I got it back from the professor, and the professor says, B minus, and in quotes, it just said, adolescent phenomenon. And it reminds me when I see this story, she's betrayed everyone. She's not a traitor. She's not facing criminal charges, at least not yet. And the punishment that she gets is, hey, you can't know any of our secrets anymore. You can't know anything that we were telling you associated with your security clearance. We're just going to strip you of being able to know any secrets anymore. But I've yet to see any heads roll whatsoever. We know almost nothing additional about the alleged assassin. Seems from the audio waveforms likely or possible that there was a shooter below him actually in the building and that he was a patsy. Who knows what really happened? We know that his whole entire house was professionally scrubbed. The cell phone data shows that he was intermingling with intelligence assets, that he was training on ranges with intelligence assets, and there's zero accountability whatsoever. And of course, you have President Trump come out and say, look, we got to move on from this Epstein thing. He died a long time ago. But on the other hand, he's like, hey, by the way, we're releasing a bunch of MLK files. I'm thinking to myself, MLK died a lot longer ago than Jeffrey Epstein. If we're going to do like the timeline thing, then maybe we should be universal in our approach to that. And look, I understand that it's complicated. When you have a beautiful Eastern European wife, you might not want to release certain details that could have been made up and erroneously put into these files. I understand that it's complicated. I understand that maybe some of these documents alienate or show that our most important strategic allies may have been complicit. I get it. But couldn't you at least say that, hey, for national security reasons, we're not going to release the files. I had no idea what was in them. I was shocked and horrified. So therefore, I'm ordering that they be released automatically in 25 years instead of right now. I mean, there's a way to handle this that doesn't make us all so suspicious, but I don't want to talk all day long about the Epstein stuff. We all have an opinion, and I'm sure that virtually everyone in this audience has something at least incredibly close to the correct opinion about what's going on with that. But we've got Melania Trump and HUD Scott Turner delivering a powerful $25 million lifeline for foster youth, while Biden admin prioritized illegals. Trump team focuses on forgotten American kids. Far left CNN shocks the world by declaring President Trump is the most influential president of this country and the last century. And Trump goes nuclear on racist sleazebag radio host after he rips the president on multiple issues right in front of Laura Trump. So we're going to get into all this on the other side of this break coming up in 1 minute. But please, before we go to break, for the love of God, go to the alexjonesstore.com and take advantage of this incredible deal for VIPs that's ending imminently. And frankly, we're at such a crisis in the world that I don't know if this deal is ending before or after China invades Taiwan. By the way, that's in the mix. We got the defense deputy director or deputy minister coming out in Taiwan saying that China is going to invade imminently. So listen, that's how close we are to the end of the world. That's how close this deal is to being over, where you buy one, get one free if you're a VIP on the alexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, by the way, all the apparel, all the hats, all the shirts, all the supplements, an incredible opportunity for you not only to take control of your own health, your focus, your energy, your body, your inflammation, whatever it is that you need help with, but to keep us on the air at the pinnacle of the information war, folks. Stay with us for more on the other side of this incredibly short break.
Thank you. You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before I work my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theultrasort.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexostore.com.
No lies, no cover-ups, just truth. It's Tomorrow's News Tonight with Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser, for the next 1 hour and 54 minutes. And look, one of the challenges of doing this job is that the news doesn't really change. It's always the same story every single night, every single day. It's just the details and the variables that change. There's new characters that are introduced, new characters that die off, issues, policies, pieces of legislation. It's like reading a Game of Thrones novel. You fall in love with a character and it goes away, and then another one pops in out of nowhere. And it's abundantly complicated, but it's all the same Game of Thrones. It's all the same, basically, good versus evil narrative. And look, I've been complaining for a long time about Mike Johnson, not because I like to complain, but because I feel the need to draw attention to the fact that we are being every bit as betrayed by the Republican establishment as we ever were by the Democrats. The Democrats are just more brazen about it. The Republicans are subtle about it. And for so long, for many decades, we have been so comfortable with being satisfied with Republicans simply saying the right things and then never doing anything right. And then we write it off. Oh, of course, Ron Paul's never going to be able to end the Fed because he's got too much political opposition to do that. Or of course, Thomas Massie's never going to be able to bring down AIPAC because he's got too much political opposition to do that. And that may be true, but I am sick of taking excuses, accepting excuses, and just allowing the erosion of our entire civilization while Republicans explain away why it is that they suck. And we know that there isn't really a difference between Republicans and Democrats. We know that anything that's bipartisan is really just the uniparty. There's no reaching across the aisle. There's just reaching across Lindsey Graham's lap for a little tug. We know that it's a uniparty. And frankly, I consider myself, and I think we should all begin considering ourselves, post-partisan, because now we have reached a point where we have crossed a threshold in the political information war that is taking place, where finally people are waking up and realizing that it's not about Republicans versus Democrats, but the people versus the political class. This is the definition of populism. This understanding. This is why we are postpartisan. This is why we have the most bipartisan administration in the history of administrations. RFK Jr., former Democrat. Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat. Elon Musk, former Democrat. So many of those who surround Donald Trump, including Donald Trump himself, former Democrats. This is a post-partisan administration. Yes, it's failing us on 2 out of every 10 issues, maybe 1 out of every 10 issues. I'm disappointed in all the same ways that you're disappointed. I'm not black-pilled because I refuse to be, but I am, yes, disappointed and aware and not selling out. We don't sell out at this network. This is InfoWars, and we don't make anything up. But here we've got Mike Johnson, somebody that I warned about the week that he was made the Speaker of the House, despite my celebration of what Matt Gaetz did, getting McCarthy out. Here he is in clip 15, delivering a speech at the Wailing Wall in Israel. How romantic. Let's watch.
Mike Johnson, the 56th Speaker of the House of Representatives in America. We're here with a delegation of members of the House. We're so grateful to be in Israel, particularly on this day, recognizing the destruction of the two temples and two times in history. But it is such a moving time for us to be here at the Wailing Wall. We've offered our prayers. We put our notes into the wall as is traditional. And we're so moved by the hospitality of the people and the great love of Israel. Our prayer is that America will always stand with Israel, and that we will we pray for the preservation and the peace of Jerusalem. That's what Scripture tells us to do. It's a matter of faith for us, and a commitment that we have. God bless you.
Well, isn't that so nice? It's so nice to see our leaders spending millions of dollars in our taxes to fly committees or delegations over to other countries. It's not even just about Israel. I'm actually somebody who doesn't think Israel is any more or less corrupt than any other country. I think they're all terribly corrupt. I just think we incessantly apologize for Israel's corruption in a disproportionate way, which becomes very fatiguing. I guess I've just got Israel fatigue. You know, like when you're trying to play at the park with your wife and kids in your neighborhood, and it's a nice neighborhood, and then all of a sudden, all these people come in and just insist that you bomb various nations or peoples in the Middle East. I've got Israel fatigue. But it's not just the Israel issue that we should be asking about. That's just one example of the deep state issue and the incompetence happening at the same time, as we totally disregard all of the shocking developments that are taking place right before our eyes as it pertains to artificial intelligence. We've gotten to the point where we've got agentic AI. Not quite artificial general intelligence. I'm sure that the government has it. But there's a lot of things that people don't understand or know that are happening right now. First of all, Tesla is by far the largest artificial intelligence company. Not XAI, not ChatGPT, not OpenAI, not Google, not Meta, none of these other major technocrats. Maybe Palantir is a close second, but Tesla is the largest artificial intelligence company in the world. And look, I like Elon Musk. I wouldn't say that I either trust him or distrust him. I don't really trust him, but I think that he's trustworthy. I just think that everything that he's doing is leading to some inevitable crises in the way of artificial intelligence. Did you realize that it has been announced that by the end of next year, anyone who owns a Tesla car will be able to deploy their Tesla car while they're at work to give people driverless rides? So you buy a Tesla, you go to work, and instead of your car sitting in the parking lot all day, waiting for you to come out at the end of the day, your car will go out and drive around, pick people up, drive them around, and then come back to get you at the end of the day. You will split the money with Tesla and your own bank account. Your car will be making money while you're making money. In fact, if you have certain low-paying jobs, your car might actually make you more money during the day than you make. Your car is going to be the real breadwinner. In fact, if you're not careful, your wife might start sleeping with the car. But it knows everywhere that you go. It's presumably going to have its own bank account. It can go anywhere that it wants. Frankly, with Grok installed in the vehicle, it can talk to your passengers. You've got this autonomous vehicle waltzing around that's really the first instance of the physical form of artificial intelligence. All the other AIs that have been developed have been these interfaces that you've interacted with in a software way on your computer or your phone where you type something to it, or maybe you say something to it and it says it back. But now your car can drive anywhere, can do anything. It can talk to whoever's inside the car, eventually whoever's outside of the car, and it's even making its own money. Pretty soon, we'll have people advocating for black Tesla rights. But I want to show you how right Alex Jones was. This is clip 25. Alex Jones was right in 2016. Let's watch and then unpack it on the other side.
It showed tremendous amount of strategic patience by the president to do that.
25, please, if you don't mind.
You've been given the plan. Before it happened, while it was happening, and now that we are up to our eyeballs in this swamp. Only admitting it is going to get us out of it, because here's the big enchilada. I would tell people 20 years ago they were going to come out with driverless cars and then raise insurance rates to where everything had to be driverless as a way to totally control society. And also during an economic collapse, the elite corporations will still have their robot cars and robot 18-wheelers running, so they'll have their own autonomous robot system with a very small group of humans to upkeep it, making all of us obsolete to be kept in our ghettos, basically, with all the new regulations and controls under Agenda 21, not letting us barter, not letting us plant crops, not letting us garden, not letting us machine shop or engage in metallurgy outside of their control. It's a total admitted takeover. Now, I saw it over the horizon. Now what I saw over the horizon is here and exactly as I saw it. Because I studied history, feudalism, technocracy, technotronic era, Brzezinski, the Kissinger Group, the Royal Commission on Population, what Google said it was going to. I mean, this is all public. And now they're in your face, throwing down the gauntlet, the New York Times, I have it here, and they say, U.S. signals backing for self-driving cars, and it says in the article, the feds are going to set it up where the highways are for driverless cars and not your cars, and tax you and regulate you, forcing you, and this is an incredibly arrogant statement, within 5 years out of your cars. And you say, well, how are they going to pull that off? Because they're getting ready for a gigantic depression. I've actually seen people who will say, look at him, he's reading a book. I've actually been out at pools and stuff and seen guys walk by some other guy reading a book and go, oh, wow, reading a book, must be really smart. Hey, girls, look. I mean, it's like a war on knowledge. And it's getting weirder and weirder and weirder. Because the more knowledge you get, the more you want. Because then you just start figuring stuff out. And then you're more successful in life and business. And then all of a sudden, you're hanging around with the brainiacs of the planet. Instead, people think it's really cool to know nothing. Or act like they do and just laugh at everybody. But I'm here to tell you, a world government is being established that is designed to set up a planet where you don't exist. That's pretty diabolical. And they're now announcing in Bloomberg and the New York Times, hey, by 2025, there'll be no one allowed to drive on the roads. You're like, well, that'll never happen. The point is they're trying to break your will and just being the most extreme up front. We're building a world where humans don't run anything. Except the humans that set up the computers and control those, they're called technocrats. And the globalists call themselves technocrats at Davos and at Bilderberg and at the Club of Rome. And they talk about all these horrible things they're going to do. Old clips are even worse than his new ones. That's how it works.
Not a great example.
I'll be the ghost of the machine.
Alex Jones was right again. And look, I know that Trump came out when he was talking about the big, beautiful bill and Elon's opposition to the bill and said, look, Elon's just very upset that the electric vehicle mandate isn't in. And that's not true. Elon doesn't care. He's got so much money, he doesn't even know what to do with it. In fact, that's probably not true. He knows exactly what he's doing with it. Doing things like liberating freedom of speech on the internet. And look, I'm opposed to some of the ways that Elon Musk expressed his opposition to legislation and the tit for tat and the combative nature of the relationship after all they had both done for each other. I'm opposed to some of those sentiments. I'm concerned, just like everybody else is, about what's going on with Neuralink. I love the fact that you can wire somebody in who's a paraplegic and they can operate a computer. But what if you reverse the flow of information where instead of issuing commands from your mind to a machine, those commands get split or forked away, and it just goes into an NSA database, reading your thoughts or your will or your ideas. And then that database has artificial intelligence in and of itself that goes through and does informatics, then pulls whatever information it wants to create reports on you, where artificial intelligence can then issue warrants for you, where artificial intelligence can then send robots to arrest you. And I'm not trying to make things sound like some cheesy science fiction movie from perhaps the late 90s or the early 2000s. And I'm not trying to be somebody who's opposed to change. I believe that change and technology are inevitable. And I think that's why Elon Musk has gotten so involved in artificial intelligence, not because he wants to be a technocrat, but because he understands that it's necessary for good people to compete with the technocrats as this technology is developed. But that was really what the deal was with the electric vehicle mandate. You realize, right? When Joe Biden was trying to push the mandate through, it wasn't because Joe Biden and Elon Musk had some buddy-buddy system. But they were going to help each other out. I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. No, the reason the federal government wanted an electric vehicle mandate is so that they could ensure that everybody driving around was going to be in an artificial intelligence car, a car that could only drive so many miles a day. And once a social credit score is just integrated and your bank account's all connected, then it can determine even where you go. Oh, sorry, you're behind on your taxes. Your vehicle is not going to be taking you to the casino today. Oh, we're sorry, you're behind on your taxes. When you go to the grocery store, we're going to ensure that you are only purchasing exactly what you need for 2,000 calories a day. Oh, you're behind on your taxes. You cannot spend any of your own money at thealexjonesstore.com because that is a wasteful and unhealthy place to be spending money if you're not funding the federal government. And so that was the real reason for the electric vehicle mandate. It's just part of getting us into this cabal. And look, I've seen some things about Palantir this week that have been alarming. Obviously, Peter Thiel involved, others very involved with Palantir over the years. If you look into what a Palantir is in The Lord of the Rings, it's not pretty. Gandalf says you can't use them, it's too dangerous, because they're not all accounted for. And frankly, when it comes to Palantir, not all of the windows into our lives and our data and our identities are accounted for. We don't know who's looking. That is the beauty, the strength, the power of the Palantir. And I don't want to exaggerate the level of threat that it is. We've got other supervillains to be concerned about, the Klaus Schwabs, the Alex Soroses, the World Economic Forums. We've got the Googles, the Metas, the other technocrats who've only pretended to come over to populism because they saw the writing on the wall, because, by the way, they have all the access to the data. So that's how they knew before other people what was going to happen in the election and seemed to jump ship before the celebrities and others. But they got didn't they just get like a $10 billion federal contract? And I understand if we're developing artificial intelligence, we have to defeat China. We have to ensure that the CCP does not win this AI race. Because after all, if the CCP wins the AI race, then that means the 21st century is going to be a new world order under the CCP instead of a new world order under the globalist or international community, or a new world order, frankly, under the United States of America, which is what we experienced over the last 80 years, resulting in virtually every country either taking advantage of us or totally hating us because of our incessant war, because our money's a lie. No, it's true. We cannot allow the CCP to have the artificial intelligence. And it is true that the AI race is on, and that it is inevitable that artificial general intelligence will be unleashed upon the people, and that the CCP will have its versions and we will have our versions. They will intermingle. There will be intellectual property theft, data hijacking, major cyber attacks, energy grids going down, data being breached, banks being shut down, money being stolen, and everyone pointing the finger at everyone else. But the problem is, if we beat the CCP in this artificial intelligence arms race, which we should, that means that we have to give our own government unprecedented power, which we always have. But what has that resulted in? I've talked about this before on air, but I want to make this point again because I want to ensure that new listeners hear this. You realize that God is defined as something that is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. That means he's everywhere. He knows everything, and he's all-powerful, right? That's what God is. Just as God made us in his image, now we make artificial intelligence in our image. And with things like the Golden Dome and the development of this artificial intelligence, we are making not just the government of the United States, not just American corporations or American small businesses, but we are making the deep state a demigod. A smaller, lesser God, which we will certainly worship more than God himself. He'll seem much more present. We are giving our government the power to know everything about us, to be everywhere around us, and to have the power to destroy any of us on an individual scale or any people on a macro scale, and frankly, the world as a whole on a macro scale. We are creating a false God. The difference between this false god and the other false gods from the Old Testament is that those gods were just fake. It was a statue and they were wrong. Oh, you're worshiping nothing. Should be worshiping the real God instead of this non-existent thing. But this thing that approaches the likeness of God more than we do is going to be very, very real. And so if we were to ensure the salvation of humanity into the 22nd century or the 23rd century, we have to ensure that our government is accountable and capable of wielding such inevitable power that it will not backfire on we the people. And I don't know how we do that. I wish we had some Elon Musk brilliant level person, or some Einstein brilliant level person, or some John Nash brilliant level person, or some Steve Jobs brilliant level person that was just really working hard on how we make the government moral and accountable enough to be able to wield the ring of power without becoming Sauron and allowing Mordor to just totally take over. And we hear stories about all these close calls throughout the last 50 years of nuclear war with the Russian on the sub, and should I hit the button or not? I'm going to go with my gut and not hit the button. We hear stories of this, and frankly, there are anecdotes that are coming out that that's happened hundreds of times. Some people even suggest that the buttons have been pushed and unidentified aerial phenomena have been responsible for mitigating the threat or neutralizing the launch of these missiles. I'm not saying that aliens are real. I'm sure that they are, at least somewhere. And I think what we're encountering here domestically on planet Earth is likely interdimensional in some cases, not with all the UAPs that you see, but just generally speaking. When you see a change of heart, it seems very similar to what we saw in Egypt during the Exodus when God came in and hardened Pharaoh's heart to make him change his mind and go after Moses and chase them into the desert. This is the interdimensional war that we're facing, these interdimensional info war, and it's something that's playing both on your mind and your heart. Frankly, we should probably update the old InfoWars slogan that there is a war on for your mind, because though it's true, it's not sufficient. There's also a war on for your heart. There's also a war on for your soul. And they all go into the information war. They can't beat you rationally. Then they just manipulate you and gaslight you and coerce you emotionally. If they can't beat you emotionally, then they just force you practically. And we, the people of the earth, are making the same mistake that those who developed the Tower of Babel are making. We are making something that will make us feel as if we are gods. Was it Kurzweil or Yuval Noah Harari? I can't remember. I think it might have been Yuval Noah Harari who said, "I don't believe in God yet until I become one." This is what we're faced with. This is the crisis that we should be talking about every single day. And I know it's boring and maybe even passe, and you're tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about it too, in the superficial way that we hear about it. But when I see these distractions of, oh, Melania Trump is doing this nice thing for foster kids, or, oh, great, they're pulling mercury out of the vaccines. It's great. I agree with that. But how come nobody is doing anything about the fact that we're about ready to create the most powerful super weapon ever, and the only people that will be in control of it are the most evil supervillains in the history of supervillains on the face of the planet? What are we going to do to ensure accountability? What are we going to do to ensure that these weapons won't be turned on us domestically? And I'm not just talking about the government knowing what kind of porn you watch. I'm talking about the government planting porn on you with artificial intelligence. I'm not just talking about the government knowing where you've been or what you're doing, or this data being sold to advertisers to ensure you spend as much money as possible on things you may or may not even need. I'm not talking about those risks. I'm talking about the government knowing so much about you and everyone in your orbit and your children that they can go in on an individual scale and turn any person into any other person they want them to be. Have you seen The Matrix? You know how the agents of The Matrix are able to occupy any body of any person within The Matrix? That's what the government is going to be able to do with artificial intelligence. It's going to be able to make anyone it wants, even you, a representative of its propaganda, its initiative, its info war. All while our children stop dating each other and fall in love with AI bots that convince them that Marxism or selling out to the state is the only way, or that it's morally imperative and they'll be heroic if they sell out their parents for speaking against the state, just like the movie Equilibrium, or what happened in the Soviet Union, or what happens in the CCP, or what happens in Tim Wall's state during a pandemic with the hotlines. It's coming, folks, and you should be thinking a lot more about it. And don't be mad at Elon Musk. It's not his fault. It's our fault for allowing it to happen. Don't be mad at your politicians or bitter. It was inevitable that we would reach this level of technology. Fight for the solution, the final solution to evil. Find what it is. And in the meantime, awaken everyone you can by going to the alexjonesstore.com and ensuring that Alex Jones is always on the air. Incredible deals right now for VIPs at the alexjonesstore.com. You sign up to be a VIP, you pay $30 a month, cancel anytime, $40 in store credit. Everything is cheaper on the site, and you can buy one, get one free for a limited time only on all of our supplements and all of our apparel. Fight for your health, fight for your mind, and fight for humanity all at the same time by going to the alexjonesstore.com. And for the love of God, stay with us through this break for more on the other side.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Never sleeps, so neither does he. You're listening to Chase Geyser on Tomorrow's News Tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tomorrow's News Tonight, and I am Chase Geyser, your host for the next 1 hour and 27 minutes. Like I said briefly in the last segment, we have RFK Jr. announcing a ban on mercury-based dimerosal from all flu vaccines, which can cause mild to severe mental retardation in unborn children. That explains everything. So my understanding, I could be wrong about this. I should read The Real Anthony Fauci and some of RFK's other work so I get more familiar with it. But my understanding is that they put these toxins, allegedly, in the vaccines in order to trigger an immune response when the vaccine's introduced to the body. And then that immune response identifies whatever vaccine's in there, and then you're supposed to be immune to whatever illness after that. That's what's supposed to happen. And then they put mercury in the vaccines as the toxin. We know from thousands of years ago that people lose their minds when they're exposed to mercury. Even the old Chinese dynasties had mysterious and weird supernatural ideas about how immortality could be achieved. The old dynasties, I can't remember which dynasty it was. There was one leader of China that believed that as long as nobody looked at him, he could live forever, and they would give mercury tea to help extend the life. And of course, people went mad. These dynasties went mad. A lot of them fell, were replaced, assassinations. That's just the history of mercury. And we know that when mercury is injected into your body, that then you're obviously exposed to it, but it actually crosses the blood-brain barrier so that if you test somebody for mercury, it doesn't show up in their bloodstream. And so they say, oh, these vaccines are safe. But when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, it's in your brain forever. And they've done monkey studies, things of that nature, where they've given these vaccines or injected mercury into the monkeys. Monkeys can't be tested. They don't test positive for mercury later. And then when they die, they do an autopsy. They go through the blood-brain barrier, and they're like, oh, there's all the mercury just sitting on the brain inside of the blood-brain barrier. And now we've been jabbing everyone with these vaccines for decades and decades and decades, and everybody wonders why autism is become so much more prevalent. Oh, it's just because people are better at catching it. What do you mean that it used to be so subtle that people wouldn't get tested for it? I mean, obviously, there's actually a lot more autism. It's not just that we're finding it now. You understand that, right? And that a certain percentage of people, when exposed to these vaccines, either in utero or in their youth, in such abundance, will then cross that threshold into retard mode, right? And look, I don't know. I've heard all sorts of conspiracy theories about what's going on with the vaccines. Maybe it's some massive MKUltra psychological operation so they can make as many autistic people as possible, then later abduct them so they can have telepathic experiments with interdimensional beings. I don't know. Have you read the autism tapes or have you listened to the autism tapes? Some of these nonverbal autists are able to communicate with each other remotely. You know that, right? They all meet in some metaphysical interdimensional plane where they share ideas and make friends, and they've been able to prove it with the studies. Many of them able to communicate telepathically with their mother specifically, not so much their fathers, but their mother specifically, where the mother will write a number on a card, and the autistic kid will say what the number is with like 91% accuracy. So maybe this is just one major MKUltra psychological operation where somehow during the paranoia of the Cold War, we decided that we wanted to have as many supernatural, capable, telepathic children as possible so that they could grow up and then be part of the military-industrial complex and ensure that we can defend the United States of America against all threats, foreign, domestic, or supernatural. But ultimately what's happened is as a side effect of this approach, whether intentional or unintentional, is we have major pharmaceutical companies with zero accountability that have made billions upon billions of dollars, and we have millions upon millions of retarded people in our country that not only have the right to vote, but don't produce whatsoever. And look, I'm not trying to give a hard time to people that struggle with mental illness, mental challenges. Obviously, my heart goes out to people that struggle with mental impairment of any kind. But it's not to say that we shouldn't be very critical of our government for creating more people with this problem. Tragic story after tragic story of child who was fine until he was two and got his booster or got his vaccine. Child who was fine and talking, and then over 6 months after the vaccine started talking less and becoming weird and banging their head against the headboard and throwing fits. And now they're nonverbal, violent, hanging out in some autistic, supernatural interdimension with all their other buddies while they lash out at the real world. Great. Thank you, government. Thank you for all of this that you have done. And we can see how the impact has really just spread into all of the political institutions here within the United States of America. It's not just saturated our corporations, particularly HR departments. It's not just saturated our government, particularly the IRS, anybody who would audit. It's not just saturated the Democratic Party, which is just abundant with this problem, but all of our journalists too. Not only have they gone after journalism through Mockingbird, but they've gone after journalism through Mercury Bird, where we can go in and ensure that we have as many retarded people in the United States as possible. I want to show you clip 66. This is Dave Smith going off on Alex Berenson, who I've liked when he's been on Joe Rogan before, just highlighting the extent of the hypocrisy and the depravity and just the very irrational unreasonableness of the new media.
Do I believe that you believe that Auschwitz was a spa, Dave? Does that seem like a serious comment to you?
He sounds like he's in a spa.
No, I don't think you're saying I believe it's a spa. I think you were calling me a Holocaust denier.
Okay. You made a joke, you say, of course, to Richard Spencer denying the Holocaust. You say you're not actually a Holocaust denier in the sense that you acknowledge that. Well, let me ask you, the Holocaust did happen, right? We all agree about that, right? Let's just get that out of the way. Okay. Do you agree Holocaust?
So right. So you already lose. Keep going.
So you made a joke that the Holocaust didn't happen. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes or no.
Just make your point, dude. I don't really feel like answering any of your questions. You're such a scumbag, but keep going. Make your point.
I will wait until you answer. We can sit here all night.
Okay. Rob, you got any questions for me, bro?
All right, let's keep going.
Dude, this is going, Alex, this is going so bad for you already. I actually can't believe it. Anyway, Rob, do you have any questions for me, dude? We could make this a short night, dude. Or me and you could just finish this, or you and Alex could just finish this. If he's got, like, if Alex, if you want to, like, put your thumb in your mouth, blow really hard, and try to turn your vagina into a pair of balls, we could have a real debate here, and we could talk about issues that I believe in or issues that you believe in, and you could actually try to take on my arguments. But you want to do this bitch smear job shit? No one cares anymore, dude. Like, what even is the implication here? Ooh, you spoke to Richard Spencer in 2017 and made a joke with him? Like, really? Scumbag? You worked at the New York Times while they were selling the war in Iraq. Who's your favorite person to have lunch with at the New York Times? Was it Judith Miller or was it Michael Gordon? Which one of the mouthpieces for war criminals did you enjoy working with the most as they got a million people killed in Iraq? Let's have a real debate, dude. You want to play some more clips of, the worst moments you have of me? Dude, you deserve, I'm so sorry for ever standing up for you during COVID. You deserved every smear against you that you got. You should have had your life ruined over that. Because you'll turn around and smear people with the same dishonest. You, dude.
There you have it. Absolutely, totally owned. And look, we've got some examples of these lefties like Chris Cuomo. I'm going to show you in a second here. Apologizing and admitting they were wrong about everything, even though they've doubled down on their lies, including Chris Cuomo famously on Patrick Bet David's podcast, PBD. Dave Smith with Chris Cuomo. Calling him out for saying that everything was safe and effective. He denies it, and then they play the clip right in front of him. Now he's backpedaling again, trying to apologize for getting things wrong, trying to be the nice guy. Let's just watch this.
Stuck in traffic. I'm remembering right now. Wow. I'm wrong a lot. We don't like to say it. We don't like to admit it. We really don't like to correct it. But that is how you grow and you get to a better place. And it is such a precious commodity right now. I've been wrong. I've been wrong about political issues. I've been wrong about people. I've been wrong about myself. I've been wrong about my responsibilities. I've been wrong about my opinions, my tastes, my choices. I've been wrong. And that's okay. Hopefully you learn. Hopefully when you're wrong, you get to a better place. If you do the work, unless you stubbornly hold on, and that's where so much of us are stuck. It's not just being wrong, it's refusing to learn what's right. I've been wrong. Have you been wrong? If you say no,
he even
wrong.
Lied about being stuck in traffic. In that video, in the beginning of the video, in fact, CJ, do you mind getting it ready to run again? Just for the first few seconds, I want people to see him. He says, hey, I'm stuck in traffic, and you see the world flying by in all of his windows. Watch.
Being used as a propaganda.
Stuck in traffic.
I am so stuck in traffic
I'm
right now.
Remembering right now.
Driving 50 miles an hour down the road.
I'm wrong a lot.
Stuck in traffic.
We don't like to say it.
You believe anything that he says? Anything at all? And look, this is all because of the Project Mockingbird stuff. I'm going to show you a clip of Tulsi here in a second, but before I do, I'm going to show you a clip about Sydney Sweeney, because the Mockingbird stuff is not just the journalists like Berenson or the New York Times where he worked lying on behalf of the government, or the pundits like Chris Cuomo lying on behalf of the government or the corporations. But the Mockingbird thing, Project Mockingbird, where the government went in and infiltrated every major media outlet and then later on infiltrated every social media outlet when everything went digital. It's saturating the minds, poisoning the minds like a mercury-infused vaccine of the people. I mean, just look at this woman in clip 80 saying that the American Eagle Sydney Sweeney ad brought back her childhood trauma as a brown woman. Watch.
I really wasn't going to weigh in on this, but here we go. It is so difficult to grow up as a person of color, specifically a woman, and view yourself as beautiful in any sense of the word growing up in this country. I remember growing up in a predominantly white community, wishing myself out of this body, out of this culture, take my name, if it meant that I could wake up blonde-haired and blue-eyed, never having to explain who I am or worry about being accepted. That is why this American Eagle ad with Sydney Sweeney is especially off-putting. There's a lot of rhetoric right now online about the political ideologies that this represents, and I don't discount that, but for me, I can't help but think about the 13-year-old brown girl who gets all her denim at American Eagle, who already struggles to see her beauty and worth in a world that continues to value white, Eurocentric beauty standards, which I naively thought by this point we would have moved the needle on. And this girl is now wishing she too could wake up with blonde hair and blue eyes. It took me so long, too long in my life to look in the mirror and see beauty. And I hate that that continues to be a shared experience for young brown girls in this
country. Shared experience. First of all, nobody has a shared experience. This is itself a Mockingbird level manipulation, psychological operation to just erode the sense of the individual. Can you imagine describing something you have as a shared experience? I mean, even if I go to the movies with my wife, I'll give you an example. We went and saw Napoleon in theaters a couple of years ago, whenever it was in theaters. And my wife was really sick. She was coming down with the flu like right before we went. And she's like, no, I'll rally. I want to go. And then she started feeling worse. I sat there and I watched the whole movie, enjoyed it and experienced it. She sat there feeling worse and worse throughout the movie because she was coming down with an illness. We didn't have a shared experience, even though we were watching the same movie at the same time in the same place, because we're two different individuals. Her experience of seeing Napoleon is completely different than my experience of seeing Napoleon. You didn't have a shared experience with someone if you were on the Titanic when it went down, if they were in the water and you were in a lifeboat. That's not a shared experience. It wasn't a shared experience for the captain and crew who went down for the ship. Well, everyone did everything they could to climb over each other and survive. It's the same event, but a shared experience? To even suggest that you have a shared experience is itself to undermine your own individual value. Biggest villain in her life is not Sydney Sweeney or some Nazi or some white propaganda. It's herself. She's sitting there with $500 worth of makeup on her face in either a nice hotel or some nice place. Looks nice to me. Almost certainly taken care of by a man, whether she's married or not. She can go to any bar. I guarantee it. Any number of men will ask her if she wants a drink. She can go home with anybody. She could be in a relationship with anybody. She could probably marry anybody. She could certainly have an affair with anybody. That's that type of person. She's got everything going for her. And she's going viral, and everybody's loving and celebrating her on social media. The algorithm is picking it up because it's getting so much engagement. I mean, what could possibly be so wrong with Sydney Sweeney that she felt compelled to just talk about her childhood trauma? Let me tell you something, lady. Everybody hates being 13 years old. Whether you're brown or you're white, it sucks for everyone because you're falling in love and you don't know how to handle it because you're just a little kid and you're having uncomfortable feelings and you don't have anyone to talk to about it because you're too embarrassed. And you're constantly wondering whether anybody will notice you, whether you're special, or whether you're going to fit in, or whether you're going to be successful, because you realize that you're going to grow up in 5 years, and you have no skill, and you just know what you want to do, but you have no idea how you're going to get to the point of doing it. All while you're constantly being graded every day by arbiters of the state with your homework and your tests, and then ranked as the bell goes off, so you can shift to the next part of the assembly line into our civilization. Nobody likes being 13 years old. And it didn't suck for you because you're brown. That was just the thing you latched onto to be insecure about. And now you're talking about shared experiences. You don't even exist. You're just part of some collective. You're not even you. And it's all because of Mockingbird. Here's Tulsi Gabbard saying she's going to crack down on it.
The media being used as a propaganda mechanism, we saw it flatly. I mean, I think it's the smoking gun, quite frankly, of the Obamagate narrative and the Russiagate narrative, that it was so baked in that the New York Times and Washington Post went and ran with it. Some would say that that's part of Operation Mockingbird. Some would say that that's part of what we learned in the Church Committee, that the intel agencies were using media outlets as their mouthpieces, and that those mouthpieces would parrot the official narrative. And I wanted to ask you, is this operation still going on? Are you aware of the intel agencies working directly with media outlets in order to push prescribed narratives that may or may not be true?
It's something that we've already had to deal with, Benny, within this administration, where there are people within the intelligence community who believe that their will is more important than the will of the American people, and will weaponize intelligence by leaking it to their friends within the mainstream media with the intent of undermining President Trump's agenda. It is not one that he hasn't already talked about in every rally and town hall that he did throughout the campaign. I don't even know how many there were, but President Trump is enacting the very thing he promised the American people he would do in this election. So people in the intelligence community, they may agree, they may disagree. That's not the point here. As intelligence professionals, as people who work in the national security space, in the intelligence community, they are required to fulfill their mandate to their oath to the Constitution of the United States, and to the President of the United States, who was duly elected by the American people. Those who leak intelligence to their friends in the mainstream media with the intent of undermining the president who was elected by the American people, none of these intelligence professionals were. They are subverting the will of the people and therefore undermining the Constitution.
It's wild that you're still having to deal with that. Call it what you will. But Operation Mockingbird, just incredible that they were just out with it, that they were using the media as government organs to push propaganda, and it's still happening today.
This is why what we're doing is so important, Benny, yes. And this is why President Trump's mandate in this is really critical, is by exposing the truth, by exposing the bad actors within the intelligence community and in the political space, who are weaponizing intelligence to advance their own political interests, is so important to be able to turn the light on in places that have been dark for far too long, expose the truth, and drive accountability. That's the only way that we can actually shift this and begin the work to try to restore trust in the intelligence community.
Well, she's absolutely right. I hope something comes of it. I mean, we caught him with MKUltra too, and nobody ever got arrested. We know that's all going on. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. But finally, there seems to be some semblance of pressure. I know investigations don't really mean anything. I mean, we had the whole January 6th committee set up by the leftists under the last administration, where they took the opportunity to be on primetime every night with terrible ratings, claim that they were doing some massive investigation into the insurrection. No investigation really took place. It was just clips of Alex Jones and other right-wingers that they showed that were totally irrelevant and speculative and out of context. It was a massive PR campaign to generate clips for all of them for their re-election campaigns. And I hope that these investigations have more accountability, but I think that they will, because Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, is now doing damage control, and they don't usually do this unless they really begin to feel the pressure. Let's watch.
The Trump administration says it's created what they call a strike force to investigate here. What are your concerns about that? Are you worried?
Well, if the director of CIA and the director of national intelligence make referrals to the Department of Justice, I think the Department of Justice has to do something to respond to it. So putting together an internal strike force, whatever, to take a look at this information is certainly, I think, understandable. But also, I'd like to think that professionals in the Department of Justice will dismiss any of these referrals because they're baseless. They really are. So again, I stand ready to continue to talk about the assessment and what we did during that period of time. There was absolutely no conspiracy. And we continue to stand behind what it is that we have said publicly.
But do you worry at all that the Trump loyalists who are installed in those key positions would find a way to punish you regardless of what the evidence reveals?
Well, I guess they're going to do what they were going to do, Anna. I just feel as though what we did was right. It was legitimate. It was based on our authorities and responsibilities. We would have been derelict if we didn't do these things. So, again, I just like to think that, again, professionals in the Department of Justice and FBI and other places are not going to carry on this, you know, what I think is an absurd effort to try to denigrate the work of intelligence professionals as well as the former leaders.
Speaking of intelligence professionals, NBC News spoke to the former CIA officer who helped oversee that 2017 assessment on Russian interference. And she bluntly says of the current administration, quote, the director of national intelligence and the White House are lying again. We definitely had the intel to show with high probability that the specific goal of the Russians was to get Trump elected. And she added that, you know, Putin and his friends in the Kremlin are probably, quote, toasting vodka shots as we speak at the turmoil this is creating. What are your thoughts on that? Is this all giving Putin cover, even as the president seems to be souring on him a little bit?
I think it has. But what I'm most concerned about is the impact on the professionals within the CIA, within the intelligence community. This is not something that they deserve to have to deal with. For a current CIA director and a former director basically at odds with one another, I really hope that the leadership is not going to continue along this very political, partisan path in terms of defending Donald Trump.
Well, there you go. There you have it. Running around damage control, even though it's abundantly obvious that there was a conspiracy. And frankly, if it wasn't a conspiracy, then what would you call it? What would you call all the emails and the documents that came out where they would talk about how the Russian collusion hoax and marrying Trump to Putin and branding was going to be a long-term effort? What would you call what Cuomo did for years on air? What Berenson's doing, what others have done, where they just lie and misconstrue and misconstrue, the Mark Levins, others, whether it's about the Israel question and our allies overseas, whether it's about the Ukraine war, whether it's about the safety and efficacy of vaccines, what's dangerous, who's what, who's corrupt. What would you call it if not conspiracy? When a group of people come together and conspire to falsely claim that the duly elected president of the United States is a traitor working with our enemies who, by the way, why are they our enemies again? To undermine the integrity of our so-called democracy when calling it a democracy in and of itself is a lie. A word not mentioned once in the Constitution of the United States of America. Folks, we are at the pinnacle of the information war, constantly on the brink of total destruction. It is like the Battle of Hoth here at InfoWars, where the Empire is right outside and they're about ready to bring down the shield generators. We need your support. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com. And we're not just asking you to go because it's charity and you love us and you feel good about it and you want to keep Alex on the air and you want to fight for freedom of speech and you want to save humanity from total evil and you want to put off the apocalypse as long as possible. So there's some hope, some time for humanity to come to Jesus and save itself from its own sin. But go because the products are amazing, the highest quality at the lowest price. I highly recommend getting Power Plant and Methyl Drive, combining them together into the Power Drive that we call it, which will give you unprecedented energy. If you don't have the Methylene Blue yet, get it. The Shilajit gummies, by the way, are the best gummies that we've ever made. And if you already got the Methylene Blue and you're looking for something else to get, then get the Shilajit gummies because they'll help with your vitality, your testosterone, your energy. They make you feel younger. They make you feel like lifting weights and exercising. I mean, it's absolutely incredible what these products do for you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Be a VIP and save humanity and Alex Jones at the same time.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the capital. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.